Welcome to our Bible study of the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. We will be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and on PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-Revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, or correction. If no one raises their hand, we will continue to study for an additional 15 minutes. If you have a question, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. Okay, let's start with a prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, who art King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we come to thee humbly, recognizing that we are sinners and that we deserve to go to hell. For ourselves, there is nothing good. We recognize that it is only by thy mercy that we have any standing with thee. Father, may it be that how we live our personal lives might be witness for thee. Bless us now as we continue in our study in thy word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'm sure tonight will be the last one on the calendar here in the book of Revelation. Just to quickly go through key dates here, which is extremely important as far as trying to figure the calendar out. It's not absolutely necessary for everyone to know these things or understand these things, but indeed, I think it is important that we understand and realize that in any event, we are in the end days. And today is still the day of salvation. Okay, we know that God gave us a clue of the end of the world. And we're going to look at the picture of the end of the world and talk a little bit about that. But we know that he said that that when the fig tree is in leaf, you know that it's near and even at the door. And we know exactly a day that Israel became a nation, which is the picture of that fig tree, and that's May 21st, 1948. So that's a sealed date. We can't move. What's very interesting is it's a very long period of time. I mean, the sign came, 75 years ago, roughly speaking. But in any event, that's the date we have. Now, we know that exactly 40 years later, to the day, brings us to May 21st, 1988. And then we know that 2,300 days exactly brings us to December 6, 1994. And September 6, 1994 has many, many, many focuses from the Bible to that particular year. Also, it is the beginning, it is the announcement of the blowing of the trumpets. And the trumpets is key to understanding the chronology of end time events. We go exactly 23 years from 1994 to 2017, which is the length of the Great Tribulation. And that brings us somewhere after 2017 that the end of the world would come. 2017, from all that we can tell, is the beginning of the judgment upon Leviathan, nations being judged. And as we look out into the world, we see that about coming about. Okay, so that's a basic, these numbers, again, that's where they're at. That's how they're set. So let's look at, we've got a few other things to take a look at. I guess we'll start looking first at the end of the church age. Let me see if I can get this going here. Okay, the end of the church age, the sea of glass. Let me see if that's the same thing all on the same page. The end, sea of glass, and the latter rain. Okay, so the end of the church age, we'll take a look at that. And we've looked at a lot of these verses already. But again, we're just reviewing this to take a look to appreciate the timing of the calendar. The end of the church age is the end of the world. And the end of the church age is the time period where we're commanded to come out of her, my people. We might be able to consider it 1994, which was the beginning of the Great Tribulation, 1988 being the beginning of sorrows that leads us into great tribulation for 2300-day period, which we saw last week in the book of Daniel. So it's a time period of 2001 going through 2011, which is a 10-year period when people are coming out of the church. So come out of for my people is the command in Revelation. And for a more in-depth understanding, you can listen to the audio study, End of the Church Age and World, found at nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-studies-0. In fact, I think it might be just studies. The end of the world is used, the phrase end of the world, in the Hebrew, in the Greek, is centilia elion. And that phrase was used 5 times in the Bible. And there was another time, I believe this is Hebrew, centilia tortori phrase is used 1 time. And it's again, referring to the end of the church age. The end of the world is identifying with the church age. God speaks of the world in a couple of different ways. Now, the world, creation, let's look at creation. Matthew 13, verse 22, we read, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So there, of course, is a picture of the world identifying with the entire world. You know, we need to look at the context to appreciate what exactly God is speaking about, because there's usually at least 2 meanings to most things, and sometimes more than that. But, of course, there are occasions when there's only 1 meaning. Eternity, Mark chapter 10, verse 29. "And Jesus answered and said, Truly I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and into the world to come eternal life." So again, that's another way that God identifies with the world. Then the picture of the world is the Roman Empire. We read about that in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." And, of course, that is identifying with the Roman Empire. The word nations identifies with the Gentiles, the heathens, the nations, the people. Focuses in particularly on Gentiles usually. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a particular people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy." Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. And again, that holy nation is the Greek word enothos. Let's see if I can pronounce that. Nations. Ethnos, I believe. It's interpreted sometimes as a tribe, a Gentile, heathen, nations, or people. And in 1 Peter, we just read, we saw that it was identified as a holy nation. And a holy nation, of course, would identify with Israel or the body of Christ. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, we read, "But the courts which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, which is a 3.5. Okay, again, the end of the world, the centilia ilion, this phrase is used, the Greek phrase, 6 times. And again, it identifies with the world or the age. Matthew chapter 13, verse 37 to 49. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field, the corporate church, is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasures hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking godly pearls. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The centilia and alien. The angel says, Come forth, and shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Let's see if I can get this a little bigger. Okay. Matthew 24, verse 3. And he sat upon Mount Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Again, centilia elion. Matthew 24, verse 4 through 14. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes and in various places or divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Now there is the phrase that we use, beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Now again, that's at a period of time as we lead into the great tribulation. And ye shall be hated of all nations of my sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. It's the great apostasia, the falling away. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And when a candle waxes cold, obviously the light has gone out. But he that shall endure unto the end, unto the tilius, unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when it talks about, you know, I've pondered about this many, many years, about the gospel being preached into all the world. And I know Family Radio was a time period when they actually had the gospel preached in all the world through radios. Of course, we have the internet today, too. But I think the real focus in preaching the gospel into all the world is the world is identifying with Christendom, God's people, those who have to hear the word in order to become saved, because faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. It's through God's word that we come to salvation. In Hebrews chapter 6, we read in verse 1, Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of the hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partners or partakers of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And of course that's rhetorical. It's impossible. It's not possible for one person who's become saved to fall away. For the earth, but you know, I've seen many people that have fallen away. Completely fall away out of the gospel, and you know, when they appeared that they might have been having a good relationship with Christ, that they might have been one of God's elect, but then the falling away, if that does not get repaired, of course, then the individual was never saved, because God does not save people and all of a sudden the next day say, "Whoops, I made a mistake." God doesn't make mistakes, obviously. But anyway. Let me step back here. But that which beareth thorns, and let me go back a little further. I'll pick it up here. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth the blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and the things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit down upon the throne of the glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now let's compare this to Luke chapter 6, which is another report on this. Luke 6:22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Okay, the church age is the harvest and the end of the world. You know, it's a little confusing because God speaks about the end of the world, giving a sign in the end of the world, and the harvest is at the end of the world. But in the days when the apostles were alive and they were bringing the gospel, you know, Christ spoke about those days, and even they spoke about those days being in these last days. So I believe the harvest identifies with the entire church age, I think. Anyway, we read in Matthew 13:39, the harvest is the end of the world, the reapers are the angels. And this is the one that really kind of clinches it for me, is Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitude, he being Jesus, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So this separating, I believe, has taken place throughout the entire church age, going all the way back, of course, since the resurrection of Christ, all the way to the end days, the last days, the end of the world, in its literal sense, not in the spiritual sense of being the church. Let's see, we get another picture here, Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in the field. But when men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, least while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into thy barn. Okay, in John we read in chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then come the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So again, bringing that gospel message out is really harvesting. It's bringing in the wheat. It's gathering the wheat. It's raising up the wheat. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. And again, of course, this is Christ talking. And should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And let's compare this to Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. And again, we compare that to Revelation chapter 14, verse 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon that cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel or messenger came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. Okay, the end of the church age is the end of the world. Hebrews chapter 9, 25. Now, let that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world, he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So again, here's the picture of the end of the world, and this is when Christ has come, and he appears to put away sin by the sacrifices of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear, the second time without sin unto salvation. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Centelia Elion. Amen. Timing of the end of the world. Daniel chapter 12, verses 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thee thou that way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Okay, and again, we've looked at that. Last week we looked at Daniel. But again, we do have a picture of the abomination of desolation being set up. Okay, another picture we have is the sea of glass. And once the body of Christ, and this identifies at the same time with the latter rain. God speaks about the former rain and the latter rain. And the latter rain is identifying, of course, with the gospel going out at the end of the world. But we're going to see this picture where the body of Christ has now come out of the church. Well, they're still continuing to bring the gospel as they would have brought to the churches and then outside of the churches to, you know, out into the world. So let's see this picture here. Saints standing on the sea of glass. It's identifying with the latter rain. It identifies with the 153 fish, which gives a number that God gives us, or a picture of a number of those who are taken out of the time period of the latter rain. And of course, it's not a literal 153. That's a spiritual number. And for a more in-depth understanding, listen to the audio study, Sea of Glass and One Third, again found at nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-studies. The sea is figurative of the world. To stand is to declare, teach. Ships represent the church, bringing the gospel to the world. To stand on the sea with harps or plagues reveals a time of latter rain. The gospel, latter rain, to bring the gospel seasoned with salt, without the corporate body. Harps represent the gospel. So the phrase sea of glass is used three times in two verses. And it's glass being transparent like rain. Read in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Revelation chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is fulfilled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. So we have this picture of the sea of glass. We just learned that it's like unto crystal. It identifies like rain, which identifies with the gospel. Again, so it's a picture of water, but we're able to walk on that sea. It's going out into the world. The sea identifies also with the world, of course. To sink down into the sea identifies with sinking into the depths of hell. But now we have this other picture, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps. Let me go back to where I lost my place on this. Hang on a minute. Let me just pick up reading here and I'll get to where I should be. And I saw, as it were, there a sea of glass mingled with fire. That's what I was looking for. The sea of glass mingled with fire. And fire identifies with judgment. So again, you know, we bring the gospel seasoned with salt. You know, we're commanded not to bring the gospel without the salt. We bring the grace with the judgment. It's got to come together. You know, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. And God wants us to bring the message, to put the fear into their hearts so that they might repent. So let me go back. And as I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, gospel with judgment, and going out into the world, standing on the sea, no ship, and them that have gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, stand, that the stand is to declare, on the sea of glass, having the harps, harps is identifying with bringing forth the gospel, having the harps of God, the gospel of God. And they sung the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, And again, that's the gospel message, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Okay, now we have this picture of, it's a Greek word, lampros. It's something that's magnificent or bright, sumptuous, something clear, goodly, gorgeous, white. Identifies with purity, ultimately. And this always identifies with being purity through the gospel. And he showed me a pure river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And we know that the pure river of water of life is the gospel. Revelation chapter 19, verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, blessed are God, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint. You know, whenever we see white, it always identifies with purity, always identifies with the gospel. You know, we see Christ riding on that white horse. And again, I don't understand how people don't see this in the sense that a lot of people seem to think that a rider on a white horse is someone else. We get later on in Revelation, we know exactly who that rider on the white horse is. So God tells us, he's the King of Kings on that white horse, coming with many crowns, conquering and to conquer. Okay, so let's go back here. So, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the linen, fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our is the word. Christ is our gospel. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, Beginning of Sorrows, we did kind of look at that. I don't think, Beginning of Sorrows, we saw a little bit of that just a few minutes ago. The seven vials of wrath, we'll take a look at that now. We've already looked at winter, and we saw that identifies with the end of the world. Pray that your flight, your flight for what? Your flight out of the church. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. And the winter, we saw that picture of Paul on the ship, during the winter, and how the wind, how that ship was destroyed, gave us a picture of the end of the world, the apostasia. It's identifying with the beginning of sorrows. Seven vials of wrath. Let's take a look at that. Seven vials and the sea of glass. Okay, again, for a more in-depth understanding, you listen to the audio studies, Sea of Glass and One-Third and Seven Vials, also found up at nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-studies. And I saw another sign, Revelation 15, verse 1, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, and in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name standing, again, standing is declaring, on the sea of glass having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are all thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for the judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven last plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. That's an interesting picture, and I'm pretty sure we covered this when we're looking at this in Revelation. This picture of the four beasts, first of all, the number four is in view. So that's universality. That means the whole world or whatever God has in view in this case. And the beast identified with the unsaved, and in this case, the four beasts is a picture of the unsaved in the church. And they're the ones that have and give on to the seven angels the seven golden vials of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. So they bring their own judgment upon themselves ultimately. Now again, you know, we all identify with the beast in the sense of identifying with mankind until we become born again. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And again, the earth identifies with the corporate church. And the first went out and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men, which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, that identifies with the world. And it became, as it were, blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel came out with his vials upon and poured out his vial upon the river and the fountains of water. That's the river of life and the fountain of life that brings forth the gospel. And they became blood. It became judgment. The gospel became the preaching and teaching of judgment. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou shalt give them blood to drink, judgment, for they are worthy. And I heard another one out of the altar saying, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous and that are thy judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, the light of the gospel, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. The gospel became judgment. It became fire. And men were scorched with a great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. Light has turned to darkness. The sun has been shut down. The light of the stars, the gospel flowing through the river of life, all silence, or has become judgment, blood, fire. And they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth messenger poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And again, we know the great river Euphrates identify also with the river of life. And the water thereof was dried up, the gospel dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the great battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. The air identifies with the place of conversation. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such as it was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of all nations fell. And we know the three parts is identifying. One third identifies with the body of Christ, one third identifies with those in the church, and the other third identifies the unsaved in the church, that is. And the final third identifies with the world. Two thirds identified with those coming under judgment. Two thirds equals 666, the number of man. So when the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God. And we know Babylon, which has fallen, is identifying with the churches of the great that have gone apostate during the great apostasia. To give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, all the high places, and the mountains were not found, they be made low. And the mountains and the islands identified with the high place where you should go to get the word of God. And they fell upon, and that of course is the picture of the church. And there fell upon men of a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plagues of the hail, for the plagues thereof was exceedingly great. Okay, so that was a picture. Those seven vials was a picture of the great tribulation. It's just another view from it. God keeps giving us different views of different things, and brings together the entire picture of the great tribulation and the judgment that comes upon them. Okay, wrong button here. Okay, so let's just take a quick look at this. The end of the church age, again, starts at 2000. This could be 1994. It might identify with the end of the church age, but definitely when the body of Christ comes out, church age is totally ended at that point. And that would be between the years of 2001 and 2011. So we looked at that picture of the end of the church age. We saw the sea of glass, the latter rain, saints bringing the message, gospel message out into the world, walking onto the sea. They don't need a ship anymore, spiritually speaking. And so that's a period of time that takes place from about 2001. And we know that the sea of glass and walking on the sea of glass and the latter rain is during this time period when the body of Christ comes out. So that goes from 2001 all the way to the last day. Then we saw, as we looked at this, the beginning of sorrows, 2300-day period, and we saw that was 1988 to 1994. Winter is a picture of the beginning of the Great Tribulation to the shipwreck, and they came out, which again, we can see lays out on a period of time, again, from 1994 to 2001. The end of the church age, the sea of glass, the latter rain, as I just mentioned, is from 2001 to the end. The seven vials of wrath is identifying, giving us just another picture, another way to see the Great Tribulation, starting at 1994, the beginning of the Great Tribulation, all the way up until the end of the world when the Lord comes finally in judgment. We saw that the church age is the harvest, and we saw that picture. Now we're going to look at the great multitude. And the great multitude has given us a picture of those coming out of the church, we're going to see, which is a period of time from 2001, and it goes all the way through again to the end of the world, the great picture of the great multitude. Okay. As a matter of fact, that might be only until 2011. Let me think about that. Yeah, it might be only to 2000, because it's a 10-year period when the body of Christ is coming out. And God has gave us a picture of after that period, identifying with 153 fish. But during that period, he's given us a picture of the idea of a great multitude that no man could number. We read in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes." There's that picture of white. the robes covering, again, purity, and palms in their hands. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 19. So that's the picture right there. These are those who came out of great tribulation. And again, that starts in 2001. Revelation 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgment. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and his smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And remember, this idea of the 4 beasts is, again, a picture of those unsaved in a corporate body, generally speaking, but in any event. They are mimicking, bringing the gospel and mimicking what the body of Christ brings to them. And that's why we see this picture of them worshiping God. And it came out and saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, a great voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Christ is our righteousness. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant. And thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, I think this will be the last one we're looking at, the picture of the 144,000, which identifies with all the tribes of the children of Israel. And I believe that is a picture of all people that have come, that have become saved. From the resurrection of Christ all the way to the last day. I believe that's the picture we're looking at. So let's take a look at that, the 144,000. And that's a picture of the fullness by the completeness of the body of Christ, old and new, 12 times 12 times 1,000, the length by the depth and the breadth. And that's a picture we saw in Revelation of the city. For a more in-depth understanding, listen to the audio study, 144,000, again found up on nationallibertyalliance.org on the Bible page. Okay, this 144,000 is only used 3 times in 2 chapters, Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. But we have looked at the number 12 many, many times. We've looked at the 1,000 many, many times. Revelation 14, 1 through 3. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, bringing the gospel. And they sung as it were a new song, that's the gospel song, before the throne and before the 4 beasts, and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000, the true gospel, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb with us whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they were without fault before the throne of God. Okay, Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners. Four is identifying with universalities. Four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree, the church, the world, and the people. And I saw another messenger or angel sending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 21, and this is where we see the picture of the city, I believe it is, or the wall. Revelation 21, verse 9. And it came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, or come, not come up hither, come hither. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and a light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written therein, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure, and the golden reed identifies with a golden pen, and the pen that God has in view here is the penning of the gospel. The measurement is by the word of God, by God's word. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city of God, the body of Christ, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that's saved for mankind, that is of the messenger, the angel. Okay, I think that brings us to the end here. Yeah, okay, we covered pretty much this whole calendar. Now, the calendar is up, that's up on the website right now. I have to update it because as I've been going through this and reviewing this, I have made some changes. And, you know, I think I've got all of the time spans correctly. But again, you know, we don't have to be perfect about this. Thank God we're not saved by knowledge. We're saved by grace. The important thing is that we respond to the gospel, repent, and turn from our ways and follow the Lord. Okay, so we're going to end our study right now. Next week, we're going to pick up on a new study. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of Matthew. So that's what we'll start off with next week, and we'll take it from there. Until then, good night, and see you, Lord willing, and see you next week.
Good night.